Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come to you, we ask, Lord, for your Spirit to teach us. Lord, that we may not just learn things, but that we may learn spiritual truths, and that they may be placed in our heart. Father, we know that Satan prowls around, and he tries to take that word from our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you keep him from doing that today. Pray, Father, that the word of God may be in our hearts, and that we may live your word. And I thank you for your presence. Give me words to say. For Lord, without you, it is nothing but words. But with you, they are life-giving words. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the sermon today is entitled, The Testimony. The Testimony. What is the testimony? It means to bear witness. You know, you hear testimonies in court, right? Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yeah, amen. Except the Three Stooges. Now, in that case, they had a little problem with that. Disorder in the court. Or people give testimonies at church. You've heard people give up testimonies at church of what God has done. We've heard how God has answered so many prayers of ours time and time again. He's been there for us. And we give these testimonies. And I have heard that, like this next slide, that there is no testimony without the test. That's true. Because God will allow a test to happen so that there can be a testimony, so that we can bear witness of him. You know, there's a passage of Scripture as we're celebrating Memorial Weekend, and I really do like Memorial Weekend. I appreciate all the men and women that have served in our country. I realize Memorial Day is about those who have sacrificed their life, and we must remember that. But it's not just a weekend of grilling or eating. It's a weekend to truly reflect upon the sacrifice that has been given. And in Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, we're told of a story that God had said to Joshua, I want you to take 12 stones from the river Jordan. Because you see, what happened during that time in the river Jordan, God stopped the water from flowing, and they were able to cross through. And they took 12 stones, from each tribe, and they placed it, and they made a memorial. And if you read in chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, it says, "So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever.'" Those stones were a memorial forever, that the people may remember what God has done for them. I had to laugh. Our guide in Israel said, "We have no sacred memorials here." I'm going, "Oh yeah, the tomb of David, all kinds of things." But I thought, "Oh well, don't argue with him." It is important to have a memorial. How many of you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Okay? Show of hands. Isn't that a sight? Beautiful sight. And if you've gone to the tomb of the unknown soldier, you see that there's many tombstones and there's crosses there. People who served and gave to the country. It's a testimony. It's a testimony of courage. It's a testimony of sacrifice. Well, John, in his letter, says that there is a testimony. And the testimony is about Jesus. It's about who he is and what he did. And today we're going to look at that testimony. In fact, John uses a principle from the Old Testament. It's a principle taken from Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. And this is what it says. "One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." So John makes his case here to testify about Jesus. Not against him, but about his greatness and who he is. And he says, number one, we testify about Jesus. Now, if you look at 1 John 5, 2 through 5, it says this. "This is how we know that we love the children of God." Let me ask you a question. You love the children of God? Okay, this is how you know it. "By loving God and carrying out his commands." This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, John uses that phrase, Son of God, deity. He uses it for a reason, because there's those who, during the time of John, said that Jesus was not God in the flesh. And so he says, he's the Son of God. He points that out. And he said, these three things make up your faith. Do you love him? Do you love him? You've got to love him. You obey his commandments. That's part of your faith, to obey his commandments. You believe in the Son of God. You believe in the Son of God. Those make up our faith. Then he says, three things testify about Jesus. Three things. And here we come to the three witnesses. Okay? The first one is in 1 John 5, 7, 8. "For these things are three that testify. The Spirit, the water, and the blood." These three are in agreement. And you say, what is that? That's an odd thing to say. Spirit, water, and blood. Well, let's look at the Spirit first, okay? Jesus said that His Spirit would come in power. And He would help us. That He would dwell within us. I know there's times that you feel God's Spirit in you. I mean, He just really gets in you and you feel and can move in God's Holy Spirit. But with the apostles, when they had God's Holy Spirit, He was in their preaching. He was in their miracles. He inspired them to write the Scriptures. And so the testimony of God's Spirit was great. Some people said the testimony of God's Spirit today is not so great because we're not letting Him do what He can do. We're kind of holding Him back. You know? Well, He said, that is the testimony of the Spirit. Now, there's a second thing, the testimony of the water. Now, that's a little bit odd, isn't it? Testimony of water? Sometimes that's hard to understand. What did John mean about that? Well, that's been a debate among theologians for a long time. Many argue that the water is a term used about the birthing process. Okay? Jesus came as a human being. Now, John was trying to prove that. And I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, I say, yeah, that's a good explanation. But when you read the documents of the early church and their understanding of this particular passage, they said it was baptism. They said every time a person believed in Jesus Christ, they were baptized in water. And you know what they declared? That they were dying to sin like Jesus died. They are being buried like Jesus was. And the old self is dying because Jesus took care of that sin, didn't He? And then they're being raised to life like Jesus was raised to life. And that water is a testimony to Jesus Christ and what we believe about Jesus. Amen? Well, in my baptism, I testify that the Son of God took care of my sins. He died as a human and that He was raised from the dead. And I too believe in that. Those in John's day had a hard time believing that God would come in the flesh. They had a hard time about that. But the water baptism proclaimed it. You see, baptism, though, and people, we got to get this right. Baptism without Jesus is getting wet. Do we understand that? It's so important that we understand Jesus saves. It is through His power, and He uses baptism to demonstrate that and to wash away our sins. Yeah. He is the center. He is the reason. He is the power. He's the identifying factor in baptism. Now, you know what? John could have called upon many other people, couldn't he? In fact, the Bible says that there were 500 people that Jesus appeared to. Wow. He said, he could have said, let's take the testimony of 500 people to tell about Jesus and who He was and what He did. But John knew that all those people were going to pass away. They would die. But you know what? God's work through His Spirit wouldn't. God's Spirit remains. And you know what? God's work through baptism remains. And God's work through the blood remains. And let's talk about that third one, the blood. I want to talk about the blood. There's a movement in our country of a bloodless religion. And that is not talking about the blood and what the blood does. But life is in the blood. The Bible tells us that. That there is life in the blood. And the whole Old Testament sacrificial system was pointing to Jesus. That His blood, the Lamb of God, was going to be slain for our sins. And the blood testifies to that. Jesus died and he shed his blood. You know what? Every time we gather around this table, we proclaim that. We partake in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The saving blood of Jesus shouts out its testimony and its transforming power. But there's still an even greater testimony. Greater? Greater than the Spirit's testimony? Greater than the water and the blood? Greater than our testimony? Yes, that testimony comes from God. And that's my third point. God's testimony. You say, well, what is his testimony? What does he have to say about Jesus? How does he proclaim Jesus as being the Messiah, the Son of God? If we look at 1 John 5:11, it says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Did you catch that? That's the testimony. Eternal life. God is saying, I believe in my Son and what he has done. My stamp of approval is right there. And because of that, I will prove it and give you eternal life. But you got to understand something. You can't have a relationship with God without Jesus. It's impossible. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father except through me. It's only through the Son of God that we can have eternal life. And the one who was human and deity, Son of Man, Son of God, gives us that eternal life. Now that's the testimony of God. That's the testimony of the Spirit and the apostles in our testimony. And when you're dead and gone, will your testimony live? Will it? Let me ask you this question. Who have you influenced to believe in Jesus so that testimony can go on? Who have you influenced to believe in Jesus Christ? There's an older song. I won't call it a contemporary song because it's a Steve Green song, and Steve Green is no longer contemporary. I don't know how you classify those people in between the old hymn writers and the current writers. So they're somewhere in the middle. They're the Bill Gaither ones, maybe, huh? I don't know. But it's a song called Find Us Faithful. And the words go like this. We're pilgrims on a journey of the narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. People, that's the testimony. That's the memorial. May we leave a memorial for those that we know. May we, like Joshua, take those 12 stones, pile them up, and when our children ask, what's that about? Say, that's about the glory of God. That's about how He moves in our lives. That's about the saving power of Jesus. Three testimonies repeated time and time again throughout the generations. What about you? Where do you stand with Jesus Christ? How's your relationship with Him? Where do you stand in that relationship? You know, each of us had to begin a journey with Christ. And it began with that first step down and reading, and maybe our parents told us about Jesus. Maybe we learned about Him. But it wasn't quite our faith. It was their faith. And they told us about Him, and we understood. But sooner or later, He had to become our faith. And we had to make that decision. So it started with that first step down the aisle. And it led to another one. And we came, and we said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the journey began. And we went to the baptism, and we followed Christ there, and He washed away our sins. And then we started that journey to be faithful, to follow Him, to sacrifice, to take up our cross and follow Him, regardless of the sacrifice. Because we were on that journey. We each began in baby steps. Today we offer an invitation to come and accept Jesus. It's all about Him and our relationship with Him. I'm going to ask the team come forward, and if you would, please stand together, and we're going to sing. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. The invitation is open. You know, I knew a minister that always gave an invitation before he preached. Maybe he didn't think his sermon was going to be good that Sunday. I don't know. But you know what? I saw people come forward because the invitation is open. And today that invitation is being extended. But let me tell you, we're not guaranteed our next breath. We are not guaranteed our next heartbeat. And so it's important that we take and make the most of our opportunities. And now is an opportunity to accept Christ. And it is also an opportunity to serve Christ. We need to serve Him as the body of Jesus Christ, to open our hearts and serve Him together. And to be a testimony. May this church be a testimony to Jesus of the life He gives and the transforming power that only He can give. That invitation is for those who may want to be members and for those who want to accept Christ. Won't you come? Let's stand. Let's sing together.